And seeking the Lord's help for a little time this morning, we turn to the portion of his word which we read together. The Gospel of Christ according to Matthew. And we read again in chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now the precious to all who are true believers is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the heart of every believer should burn within him when the Lord is speaking, when Jesus speaks. After all, it is the great head of the church who is speaking. It is the captain of our salvation. And perhaps above all, we hear the voice of the beloved. Now, precious are his parables. And precious are his prophecies. Precious are his promises. Precious are all his comforts and all his consolations. And precious also to his own should be his words of caution and of warnings. And we are to listen carefully, not only when Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laid, that I will give you rest. But we must also pay very special, very particular attention when he cautions us and warns us to be heed, take heed and to beware. Now here is a warning given against, warning against a very grave danger of the last days. Not so much notice a warning of things being done, but of things believed. Things believed. And surely a warning against some particular specific matter when it comes from the great shepherd and from the great head of the church. Surely that is not wrong for us to pay close attention to it. And for us to take his warning to heart. After all, it is a warning founded upon the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from his own blessed lips, and he says to us, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. But perhaps you are thinking, why would I take that for a text on a Sabbath morning? Well, for a little time, I want to explain to you something regarding that warning. First of all, those who are being warned, and then the warning itself, and some of the reasons for that particular warning. Now, looking at those warned, then Jesus said unto them, take heed. And you notice the Lord was not speaking there to ungodly heathen, nor even to the worldly. Notice these words are addressed to his own disciples. We read there in verses 5 and verse 6. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they have forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware. They were spoken to those who, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, were right-hearted men. They were, in fact, they were the very founders, the pillars of the Church of Christ, the very first ministers of the Gospel, So notice first of all it was those who were addressed by the solemn caution of these words, take heed and beware. Now, possibly you and I would think these of all people were the ones who had least need of a grave warning of this nature. After all, had they not given their life to Christ? Had they not, as Peter said, left all and followed thee? Had they not already endured some hardships for Christ's sake? And even more, had they not believed and followed, yea, and loved Jesus when most others were against him and opposed him? Yet, notice carefully that this solemn warning is addressed to them. Now, such warnings are of great importance, and it would have been well for the Church of Christ to have remembered it in every age and in every generation, and especially as we see all that is happening round about us in our own day as well. First and foremost, it teaches us that the most decided of God's servants are not beyond the need of such a Lord, and that they also need to be reminded to be on their guard. After all, as one of old put it, I think it was Philip Matthew or Matthew Henry himself, who said that the best of men are but men at best. Yeah, but men at best. None are so holy that we cannot fall into temptation. And notice, if you want to look at that, verse 23 of this very chapter. Now, God's people will never fall finally or totally, but they will fall to their own hurt and to their own shame, and they will fall to the shame of the Church of Christ, and they will fall to the triumph of the world. But if I can put it in another way, chosen they are of God, justified by the blood of Christ, yet they are still in this body. They are not angels. They are still in this world. And their understanding, even when it is enlightened, is still dark. They only see through a glass darkly. I would be thankful to see through a glass darkly, but it is but darkly. And so they are liable to err. And therefore there is a need of warnings. I need every day to put on the whole armour of God, because their enemy never slumbers, never sleeps, and he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now you think for a moment of the fall of good men. Fall of good men. Noah fell. So did Lot. So did Abraham. So did David. So did Moses. And as we read in this chapter, so did Peter. Even the Apostle Peter. And we need to remember them, lest we say that we would not fall into this sin or into that sin. We need to remember them. We should think of these words spoken here often to his own disciples. It may help correct us any high views or any high thoughts that we have of our own wisdom. It will help to keep us humble. It will help to keep us lowly minded, at least. And so Jesus warned his own disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they thought, as we read, that he was referring to bread, as they had forgotten to take any on the journey with them. I'll read in verse 7. They failed to grasp the figurative meaning or sense of the words of Jesus. So Jesus said to them in verse 12, I am not talking of bread. You know I can provide all the bread you need. The preceding chapter tells us of his providing bread for 4,000. But I am referring to the teaching, to the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, do not let their doctrine and teaching influence you. Now, certainly that warning is still applicable in our day, when all kinds of isms have sprung up. Some men came along with some new doctrine, and they put enough in it from the Bible, enough from the Bible to make it sound good and look respectable, and thousands of people fall for it and follow them. And what is the answer? What must we do? Well, we must stay, always stay close, close to God's Word. Stay close to God's Word. The Bible is our only rule, our only authority, our only rule to direct us. And we never, ever put or accept man's word above God's word. Now, a few years ago, it was practically every Christian minister in our land at least believed the main cardinal points or doctrines of the Bible. Now, one day, a prominent churchman said that he did not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Now that was unusual. It made the headlines. It was news. It featured in every paper. The very idea of a leading Christian church person saying, a leading churchman who did not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. But the passing years have brought so many changes. Many have now thrown away, thrown those old basic beliefs out the window, so that there is now no resurrection of Christ either. There is no resurrection from the dead. There is no hell. There is no heaven. And no one bats an eyelid. And what is now so widely preached are the opinions of men, rather than the doctrines of God. And the difficulty now is to find many preachers who do believe, who still preach the truths as they are in the Bible. The truth as they are in the Bible. The leaven of modernism, new orthodoxy, or new orthodoxy it is called, has spread like wildfire today. And I say again, just how many still preach what is in the Bible, that man is a lost sinner, bound for hell, that Christ is their only hope, that unless they turn to Christ, they are lost forever. Oh, the need today, the need that there is to do away with sweet words, pious expressions that sound good, speaking of love and peace and unity. All these things, unless they are based upon the Word of God. A unity which is not based on the Word of truth is treachery against Christ, that is all. And the worshipping also. The unity that is not based on truth. And worshipping God also. In a way that we think he should be worshipped. We think he should be worshipped. Not as his own words reveal to us how we should worship him. Oh, what a need we have to go back to the Bible, back to basics, back to the Word of God, back to Jesus Christ, back to preaching sin and the terrible results that will come upon us if we die without his forgiveness. so much for the those who are born. Notice the warning for a little. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now we are not left to speculate as to what the Lord meant when he gave these warnings. The meaning is made very clear to us in verse 12. We know that Jesus did not mean the leaven of bread, as the disciples thought, but the leaven of doctrine. Now, it is worth noting that the Lord does not warn us there, or the church, of the danger of persecution, nor even an open breach of the commandment, of the Ten Commandments. Now, all these are real perils and real dangers, but the assaults of persecution from without have never done half so much harm to the Church of Christ as the rise of false doctrines within it. Those who teach them. False prophets and false teachers within the camp have done far more harm and mischief in the Church of Christ than all the persecutions that have ever inflicted upon it. Or put another way, the sword of the foe never has done so much harm as the tongue of the false friend. The tongue of the false friend. Now, the doctrines of which the Lord specifically warns us here have always been found to inflict most injury upon the course of Christianity in every age. Look first at the Pharisees. Now, these were, as we know, the self-righteous formalists, the tradition worshippers of their own day, and they were giving strict attention to the outward and external rituals, and especially such of these rituals as would be seen of men, seen by others. Now, they did not formally deny any part of the Old Testament scriptures, but they added to them so much of their own traditions and so much of their own inventions that they made the scripture of no effect, burying the scriptures under the things which they added to it. And as such, the Lord said, beware of them. Beware of them. Take heed and beware of them. And the Sadducees, these were the modernists. They did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in the immortality of the soul. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything supernatural like miracles. They were the free thinkers of their own day. But notice especially the word that the Lord uses regarding both of them. Leaven. A word that is particularly forceful and appropriate and very expressive. Now, he does not use doctrines, he doesn't use opinions, he doesn't use instruction, teaching, but a very peculiar word, and indeed strange that he would use it. But again, he uses the best words and the wisest words and the most appropriate words, and he called it leaven. And that word describes exactly the small beginnings of false doctrines. In other words, he would have us understand how quietly, noiselessly, steadily, imperceptibly, it works until it changes the whole denomination and the whole person. In other words, put a small part of, as it is translated elsewhere, of yeast, a leaven, put it in dough, and it will diffuse itself throughout the whole lump, steadily, subtly, and there lies its terrible danger, its deception, a false doctrine, the deadly power with which it changes the whole character of that denomination's Christianity, or a person's religion, a person's Christianity. Now, if it approached If it had purged in its true colour, it would do little harm. But falsehood does not blow a trumpet before it. It does not come out in broad daylight, but it approaches quietly, steadily and plausibly. A wolf in sheep's clothing. If a wolf sought to get in among the flock, the shepherd would soon get rid of it and get it out. But not when it comes clothed as a sheep. And the secret of its success lies in its subtlety and its very likeness to truth. Satan in the very garb of an angel of light, and all the more dangerous because of that. So Jesus warns his disciples, take heed. Do not let these doctrines, do not these deceive you. Do not them beware of them. Now these two groups, Pharisees and Sadducees, were exactly opposite in their religious beliefs. The Pharisees were sticklers to the law, to the traditions of the elders, while the Sadducees, as I said, were the free thinkers of their day. But very often, although they were opposed, they were bitter foes sometimes, but they joined up together to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth. They demanded tempting of him, as we see there at the beginning, a sign from heaven to prove that he was God's son. But the Lord rebuked them, and he said to them, you can read the weather signs, but you are blind to God's spiritual laws. He says there in verse 2, in the evening when the sky is red, you predict that there will be fair weather. In the morning, if the sky is darkened, you predict that there will be foul weather. But you cannot discern the sign of the times. You cannot discern the signs of the times because of the blindness of your spirit. You pay more attention to the changing weather patterns than the event leading up to the coming of the Son of God and to the world. These things are of no interest to you. You cannot discern the signs of Christ's coming. Now, the same is true today. People study this world and its mysteries, and all its mysteries. It's amazing what they are looking into. The origin of the world and all the rest of it. They know about science. They know about politics. They know about current affairs. They know about global warming. They know the events of this world. Every age, from the Stone Age and the Space Age, they are familiar with. But sadly, the Bible is a closed book to them. They do not know anything about God or Christ or eternal life. Oh, what a mirror to behold the present generation in. They know the things of the world, they know history, they know archaeology and every ology that they can think of. But they care not for the God who made it all. Jesus called the religious leader of his own day, and therefore a wicked and adulterous generation, because they had already seen so much of his divinity. They had seen him, the Lord, feeding 5,000 at one time and 4,000 at another. They had seen him healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead. They had seen numerous other miracles he had performed, and still they wanted a sign from him. They wanted a sign from heaven, as we read in verse 1. But when they saw the signs, they didn't see the miracles. And when they saw the miracles, they did not believe. Oh, who are as blind as those who want to stay blind, as those who do not want to see. I don't I want to look for a moment at the reasons for this warning. Why did the Lord deliver this warning to his own? And I ask that because he knew that within 40 years, Jerusalem and its magnificent temple, it would all be destroyed. And the Jews would be scattered. And the school of the Pharisees and Sadducees would soon, they would be long gone. So why give this warning to heed and beware the doctrines of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Well, firstly, because of the danger. And the Lord knew, the Lord who is infinitely wise, he knew that even when the name of Pharisees were gone, there would always be those who would be like him in spirit. They would always be there. Their principle and hypocrisy would always exist as long as the church lasted. And how quickly there arose such in the early church, and how many down the centuries have followed in that way and in that way. And oh, how applicable that warning is in our own day, generation. How many today, in different parts of our own Scotland, have the name of Protestants, and yet who know so little why the protest, what the protest was about. It's astonishing today, those who look astonishingly, astonishing that they do, and astonishing those who do, that look so favourably towards the Roman Church, who is so focused on Pharisaism, who is so focused on that, on its rituals and ceremonies, more anxious to be thought religious than to be so. The words today, the need of doing away with sweet words of peace and peace at any price, at any cost, where there is no peace. Because peace without truth is a false peace. It's no peace at all. We need to go back to the Word of God, back to sin, back to repentance, back to faith, to eternal life in Christ the Savior. One thing we should remember, that faithfulness to Christ or faithfulness to a denomination is a very different thing to being faithful to Christ. Faithfulness to a denomination is one thing. Faithfulness to Christ may be another thing. So we have to give the reasons for the warning, because of the danger, because also surely of the end. What can and what must be the final result of a life spent in religious formalism or hypocrisy? What is the end of that? Surely each one of us needs to be careful that he does not admit any such leaven, that we don't admit any such leaven into our soul and yield to its influences, because our immortal soul, our eternal destiny is far too important to be trifled with. We die when we die, but the soul lives on forever. Now the last day will show everything its true colour. No longer then will evil be good for good, nor good for evil. It will not matter much about political correctness then, or whose side we're on. It may be for the sake of pride and hypocrisy, or it may be Sadducees' indifference. But the remedy is that the Holy Spirit would deeply impress upon our soul, on all of us, the great principles of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gospel of God is God's word. That is the word by which he wrought the most wonderful miracles. It is his gospel that he delights in. It's his gospel that he makes effectual for our salvation. Anyway, who that discerns the excellency and the fullness that is in Christ, who will rest on rituals and forms and ceremonies or anything else of that nature for acceptance with God? Who that discerns the excellency and the fullness that is in Christ will rest on any of these things for acceptance with God? Who is sensible to his own guilt and danger? Who will yield then to indifference or to apathy? Who is sensible to his own danger and his own guilt will yield to indifference or apathy in these matters? Who beholds the wonder of the redeeming love of Christ that will have anything to do with this accursed heaven? Who that knows and beholds the wonder of his redeemed love? Who will have anything to do with these things that robs him of all the benefits and the blessings of that love? Anyone who has seen the rapid, terrible changes and error of sin that have come into denominations and lives through this heaven will soon see the need that there is for this caution. Oh, the need to examine ourselves where we stand. The Lord give this caution to his own people. Precious are all that the Lord give us, his parables and prophecies and promises, but also his warnings. And hear not what we are doing, but what we are believing. He was not talking to heathens or worldlings. He was talking to the founder and the minister of the early church. And they needed that warning. They needed it. How much more do we? We are not beyond any of us to fall. Chosen, justified in Christ, and still men. And faith may be dim and liable to err. It happened to Beth. And so comes this warning. I told the meaning of it plainly in this passage, in verse 12. He was not referring to bread or leaven. He was referring to the doctrines. He was not even referring to persecution or the Ten Commandments, but false doctrines, false teaching, formalism, modernism. And he used that word of old, leaven. Work subtly, quietly, steadily. Does not blow its trumpet. Doesn't work in the daylight. Comes as Satan, as an angel of light, and all the more dangerous because of that. And the reason for it is we need to go back again from being glued to this world. After all, our eternal destiny depends on it. But Jesus said, keep clear of this leaven. Keep clear of this doctrine. Keep away from this teaching. And to that end, may the Lord bless to us these few thoughts.